Thank you for that introduction. So yeah, I'll be talking about a comparison between different teaching strategies in an introductory course that we teach at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. So Agronomy 153 is an introductory course, and it was taught during the fall of 2016, and it was taught using three different teaching methods, one being a traditional lecture setting, the second being blended learning with a class meeting once a week, and then the third method was entirely online. And the questions that we wanted to know were, can Agronomy 153 be taught differently without sacrificing the learning experience, right? So do the students who are enrolled in the traditional and in the blended and in the online having the same learning experience and the same quality of education as those in the other sections? And we wanted to know, how does it adapt to different students? And so for that reason, we also collected learning style information. And then should we reconsider upperclassmen enrolling in a 100-level course? Since this is an introductory course, we did have quite an amount of juniors, sophomores, juniors, and seniors enrolling in a 100-level course. So we wanted to know if there was a difference in their experience with freshmen in an intro-level course. And so we administered a survey at the end of the semester, and we got a pretty good turnout because we offered extra credit. So we had 176 students respond to the survey. And of those that responded, 70 were freshmen, 36 were sophomores, 38 were juniors, and 32 were seniors. Of the teaching methods, of those that chose to enroll in those different sections, we had 117 students enroll in the traditional section, 21 in the blended, and 38 in the online. And in terms of their learning style, 56 students identified as visual learners, 28 as kinesthetic, 45 as tactile, 9 as auditory, 5 said they had no preference, and 32 answered that it depends. And so we used these student demographics, we used these characteristics of the students to really guide our questions and really see if we could tease out any differences between how they experienced these different learning settings. And so I decided to use an ordinal response model. So for those who might not be familiar with how we do this, suppose that you have your responses in a category where category 1 is less than category 3, is less than category up to J. You can actually model those cumulative probabilities, saying that the probability that Y is equal to or less than any of those J probabilities is just the cumulative probability that they answer something on that scale. And so you can then rewrite that and get the logit of the cumulative probabilities. And all this is saying is that it's the probability that Y, or any of the responses, is equal to or less than any of those category J's. And then you can rewrite that as the log of the probability that's less than or over the probability that's 1 minus that probability. And so then, once you have those log odds, you can actually create a log odds model and then determine odds ratios. So once you get those responses, you put it through a legit model, you develop this model that develops a beta value for that corresponding classification. And I'll explain that in deeper detail as I take you through one example. And so the one example I'm going to be talking about in our survey was this question: how helpful has this course been to your ability to meet the following objectives for Soil Resources 153? And so this is their responses on this Likert scale, very unhelpful to very helpful. And they ranked how helpful this class was in explaining the multiple functions of soil in the global ecosystem and how land use and or management may impact soil functions and soil erosion, describe soil profiles and relate profile characteristics to soil forming factors, describe soil physical properties of texture, describe soil chemical properties of clay, classify types of soil organisms, and explain how abiotic and management factors influence ecological cycles of carbon and nitrogen. And so once I developed these models on these responses, I ran an ANOVA on those log odds models, and I found something very interesting. I found that teaching method, however they had decided to take this course, did not influence how they responded to that question. In other words, it doesn't matter if they took this course blended, traditional, online, that did not influence how they felt about how this course had helped them meet those following objectives. Neither did learning style. Learning style didn't influence how they answered any of the questions on our questionnaire, but the funny thing was that class standing did, and it was very significant across all of the questions. And for all the questions that I ran stats on, this trend holds. So all the questions are answered depending on how students, class standing students are. And so then, once you discover that one of those models is significant, that's when you develop your odds ratios. And so, back to those beta values, all you then do is take the E to those beta values for that corresponding class. So for example, the beta value for sophomores is 1.16, for juniors is 1.3, and after you divide those odds, you develop an odds ratio. And the way you interpret these odds ratios is a tad bit tricky. So for that first question, where we asked them to see how the class met their one of the goals, which was to explain multiple functions of soil in the global ecosystem, the way you interpret that odds ratio is that the estimated odds of a student answering helpful or anything below versus very helpful or anything above is 1.57 times as large for seniors versus freshmen. And all that means is this. It means that on this scale, those are the odds that somebody is going to answer something less positive as opposed to more positive. And those odds remain the same for, say, if you compared somewhat helpful to anything below versus very or helpful and everything above, or if you compared neither and anything below versus somewhat helpful and everything above. It's just the odds that they answer something less positive or more negative, however you want to think about it. And so it was interesting because if you look at those odds ratios, the estimated odds of a student answering helpful or anything below versus very helpful or anything above was 3.79 times as large for a junior versus a freshman. There were 3.28 times as large for a sophomore versus a freshman. So juniors and sophomores were continuously answering less positive things about the course as compared to freshmen. And this trend held with all of those goals of the course for describing soil profile and how it relates to characteristics. Same trend, 4.5 times as large for juniors compared to freshmen and 2.63 times as large for sophomores compared to freshmen. For describing soil physical properties, 3.8 times as large for a junior versus a freshman and 3.6 times as large for a sophomore versus a freshman. And like I said, these you can see the trends continue 3.26 times, 3.76 times, 5.33 times as large for a junior versus a freshman, 4.46 times as large for sophomores versus freshmen. So I asked myself what's going on. Why do juniors and sophomores and juniors not like the course? Why are those odds so much different? Why are the odds greater for them to answer something less positive about this course? So I thought maybe the class is too easy for sophomores and juniors, right? Maybe they're not challenged and this class is really an intro level course. It truly is a 100 level course. Or maybe sophomores and juniors expected an easier course, right? So maybe it's an attitude problem. So I called my little hypothesis the sophomore slump. And I thought about how I could really answer this question. So then I thought, what better way to answer that question than with grades? Right? If this class was truly easier for sophomores and juniors, they would have easily performed better. So then, interestingly, it was significant. So class standing was significant when considering grade distribution in Agronomy 153. However, not how I thought. The estimated odds of a student earning a C or anything below versus a C or anything above was 2.73 times as large for a sophomore versus a freshman, and 1.4 times as large for a junior versus a freshman. In other words, the freshmen did better than the sophomores and the juniors, which leads me to conclude that this was truly an attitude problem and that maybe the freshmen were a little bit more inspired or excited about a college course, and my naming of my hypothesis really held because it truly just is a sophomore slump. So in conclusion, how students chose to take Agronomy 153 did not influence how they answered any of the questions on the questionnaire. I only chose just one question to run my stats through for this presentation. And this is important to know because then we are more confident in being able to offer an online or a blended course and maybe save department resources and instructor resources, right? And having them to be in the classroom a little less, so this can save both money and time. How students identified as learners didn't influence how they answered the questions on our questionnaire. And that's important to know, too, because it makes me feel confident that we are teaching for all learners. The problem with that is that I don't know how confident I am in how students identify as learners, correct? So we would have to come up with maybe a better technique for assessing their learning styles. And interestingly, class standing influenced how students answered questions on our questionnaire. So with that, I'd like to thank Dr. Mamo, or Carol Spitz, Dr. Tim Kettler, Dr. Megan Sindelar, my PhD advisor, Ray Driver, for letting me teach, and my doctor of plant health advisor, Dr. Gary Hine, for letting me teach. I'd be happy to take any questions. This one first.
So, first of all, great great presentation, really interesting question. What I'd like to know is, what do you plan to do with this information? So what changes do you plan to make to how you teach the class based on what you've learned?
Well, I think that I'm actually involved in teaching this course right now. And I've noticed that, I have actually noticed this trend live. I do see freshman students more willing to engage, and sophomore and junior students, for some reason, developing an attitude that they don't belong here. And so in person, right, in vivo, I'm trying to see if I can create an atmosphere where I do kind of try to acknowledge the sophomores and the juniors for their experience in college, right, to make them feel like they are leaders in the class, because it does, I do notice that immediately that the freshmen come in, they're ready to take on college life, but the sophomores and juniors might be a tad bit jaded. Yes?
Do you think the sophomores and juniors and seniors enrolling in this 100-level course tend to be from different majors, or maybe more likely to be transfer students, or people who change majors midstream?
That's a great question, because I have been trying to come up with other demographics to collect in future questionnaires to either calibrate or add as demographic variables in our log odds models. I only chose this one question, right, to present for this presentation, but for all of the questions, every single outcome question, every single other question that we asked, the only thing that was always significant was class standing. So I do think that we need to collect other information, because maybe it isn't necessarily class standing, maybe it is transfer students, or maybe it is non-traditional students. But I'm not sure. Maybe they forgot to take her to the soils. And so I think that those are great questions to consider for different demographic questions or data collection.
What are your prerequisites for 1-3?
I actually had that slide, and it's just high school chemistry, because it's an intro level course.
We find more and more of our freshmen coming in with 20, 30 hours of dual credit or whatever it's called, wherever we're at. So we're finding that we have a lot of kids that are actually coming in as sophomores that are true freshmen. Did you account for that, or do you notice if you had any of those?
So the way that we identified class standing was by credit hour. I know that I should probably use a different terminology in terms of freshmen, sophomores, juniors, or seniors, but I just didn't want to say 0 to 26 credit hours.
Sure.
Yeah, so in terms of that, I didn't account for that. So maybe we could also include a true freshman category, right, or something like that. Because
A
redshirt freshman soil scientist. Yes.
Another thought that comes to my mind is, I think for the higher levels, maybe they heard some of what you're teaching in other classes, and so, you know, for them to say that, you know, their advancement isn't as much because they feel like they're starting at a higher level. They've heard something before. There's just that incremental change isn't as much as for a freshman who may not have experienced it at all. So it's totally new to them.
Exactly. Yeah, that was one of my conclusions in terms of an attitude problem, not a ease of course, you know, situation. Because I initially did think that maybe the class was going to be too easy for them, and I was wrong. Yeah.
Is this your only introductory soils course at the University of Nebraska, or do you offer another one that has a college chemistry prerequisite?
We do offer other courses that have college chemistry prerequisites, but I do not believe that they're intro level courses. So that is the only intro level course that only requires a high school chemistry background.
Great job handling.